All right. Hey, good morning, folks. Glad to see you here this morning. Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving time, okay, with your family, if you had family in, or maybe you went to see family. But it was a good time for my wife and I. We got to visit with my parents for a little bit, and it's good to be back home, though. And let me go ahead and read a couple of thank yous that we have here. One of them is from the missionary that we had here not too long ago, Kelly Love. She says, "Dear Pastor McPhillips and the folks at Grace Baptist, thank you for allowing me to be a part of Grace's extension in Brazil. I appreciate the numerous prayers of holding the rope and your enthusiasm to partake in our Lord's command. I was encouraged to see God's evident blessing upon Grace Baptist as you have sought to reach into Taylorville. I enjoyed the great fellowship of the saints." And before I read the next one, I'm going to have my men come in from the back, the ushers, please, if you would come up here. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we want you to make sure you get one of our visitor welcome packets. If you haven't already received that, when they begin walking back, you can just raise your hand. They'll see that you get one of those. And then if you could, fill out that information card for me that you'll find there on the inside. As they're doing that, let me read to you another thank you we had received from the Smith family. Marlon Smith wrote this. That was the family that was here just this past weekend. He said, "Brother McPhillips, we had such a great time this weekend. Thank you so much for inviting us to be with you. We all enjoyed the Sunday services and the Thanksgiving meal and Saturday evening. You have a very sweet atmosphere, and we met so many wonderful, sweet folks. The Sunday evening praise service was heartrending, yet so encouraging. Thank you for making us feel like royalty. God bless you, and hope to see you again soon." And so we certainly enjoyed having them with us as well while they were here. As far as the other announcements, let me go ahead and look here in the bulletin. There are a few that I wanted to point out. Apples of Gold is this week, ladies, at 10 o'clock on Tuesday of this week. And then this Wednesday, we'll have another missionary here. He's home on furlough. Andy and Jill Schultz will be with us this Wednesday night. Men's prayer breakfast. Men, I want you to take note of this. It's not this coming Saturday. It's normally the first Saturday of the month. This month, we're actually moving it to the second Saturday. So it'll be December 8th instead of December 1st. And church Christmas decorating, it's time. It's time. How many of you have put up Christmas decorations already? Well, it's okay because it's after Thanksgiving. I had a family member or two begin to put them up before Thanksgiving. We had to have a discussion about that while we were visiting with them. I did hear of someone that had a Christmas tree up 2 months ago. There's something wrong with that. On the surface, it would appear that way. But they explained the situation to me, and I thought, okay, I get it. You get my blessing to put your tree up early or whatever. But we're going to decorate our church now. It's that time of year again, and that's going to be this Thursday at 10 o'clock Thursday morning. So if you can help, please help. We always need extra help. I appreciate those that are here every year, and they keep getting older for some reason. I don't know why, but they keep getting older and less. And so the work is still here, and it's just more work for everyone. But if we can get a lot, that'll help make things go very quickly. And so all of the Christmas decorations will be coming out of the storage areas where we have them, and they'll be dispersed around the church. But if you can come 10 o'clock on Thursday of this week. And then Operation Christmas Child, you'll notice the shoeboxes are gone from the back of the church. 135 boxes this year. That is fantastic. Thank you so much for being a part of that. And the tickets for the adult Christmas gathering, those will be on sale in the lobby afterwards. Now, this is a time of year that Christmas cards start to come in. And I think it's wise to just make out one card to the entire church family. And so we try to provide a place out there in the lobby for those beginning that first Sunday of December. So next Sunday, the bulletin board will be prepared and ready for you to just go ahead and put that card up there for them. And I failed to do this on Saturday and also last Sunday. I failed to thank the banquet committee for that fabulous meal they made for us. And so I'm going to have them all come up here in the front. And no, I'm not going to do that. And they're shaking their heads, nope. So I don't want to promote rebellion here on a Sunday morning, but man, I do thank them for their work. Don't you agree? It was good. It was a lot of work to do that. And some of them actually got out here to hear the Smith family sing the last two songs because they were still back there cleaning up. So I do appreciate all that they do for us. Well, let's go ahead and begin our worship time this morning with a song, page number 19 in your hymn books, if you need those.
Let's all stand together as we sing the first, second, fourth, and fifth stanzas of number 19, O 4,000 tongues.
Seated. One more announcement to make here, and that is in regards to a meal train that has been set up. I just saw Whitney and Style come in. Did you bring Hava? Did you bring the other one? Oh, the other one is here. Oh, that is awesome. They'll have a line of people afterwards where you can look, don't touch, but you can look at the newest little one that has joined our nursery, and I know they're excited about it. But we do have a meal train that has been set up. An email went out about that to everyone that's on the prayer chain, and then it's also on our church Facebook as well. So if you'd like to be a part of that, I know there's a few slots that are still open. Please take a look at that, and if you can help, I know that would be very much appreciated. Style thanks you ahead of time for that. So that's our newest addition to the nursery, but I also get to announce today another new addition to our nursery, and I'm going to do something a little different to do this, but Kevin and Crystal, could you guys come up here, please? I know this is unusual, but everything about this is unusual. Kevin and Crystal have, through much prayer over many months, have been led to this position or this decision that they are pursuing adoption. And we're excited. We're so excited about that. They chose as a foundational verse for them, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 27. It says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him." And that's what they're doing now. They're praying. And if you've been through that process before with anyone, or maybe you yourself, you know it's not a process. It's not a matter of just filling out some forms. There's encouragements, there's discouragements along the way, and it can take a while before you actually get that thing, that boy, that girl that you've been praying for. And so as a church, I would like us to join them in praying as well and supporting them. And we actually found this sign that has their verse on it. For this child I have prayed, and the Lord has granted the desires of my heart. I'm going to give this to them, but after the service, I would like the two of you, if you could go stand by that table in the back of the room. And I have some pens there that if you would like to be a part of their prayer team, go ahead and sign the back of their picture for them. And they will know that they have a team of people praying that God would bring that child to them as soon as possible. Let's, if we could, all just bow our heads and pray now. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us. And certainly one of those priceless, unspeakable blessings is that of children. And Lord, I am so excited about the desires that you've placed in both Kevin and Crystal's heart to share you with children in a lasting, impactful way by raising children for your honor and your glory. And so, God, we do lift them up to you this morning and what they're beginning. And you already know how it's going to end and when and what's going to take place in between. You've got it all planned already. And your grace for those things is already waiting for them as each day comes. So, Lord, we pray that this would move along swiftly, that they would grow closer to you through this process, and we as a church would join them as their extended family as they seek to fulfill your will for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
...680 in our hymnals, is a song written by Ron Hamilton, Rejoice in the Lord. We are so thankful that no matter what happens in our lives, there's never been an emergency meeting of the Godhead, and God has it all under control. We'll sing all three stanzas, Rejoice in the Lord. Thank you.
ushers to come, please, as we worship God through our giving this morning. I'll ask that you continue to be in prayer for Gary Yonker. He's still in the hospital fighting that infection, which they are just calling unknown at this time. So that's probably why he's still fighting it. But there has been some improvement, slow, and it's just going to take a little while longer yet. Rusty, would you lead us in prayer?
This day, for that you be this offering, blessed to for what it's intended for, be with pastors and preachers today, dear Heavenly Father, and be with us as we continue on. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Them 366, heaven came down and glory filled our soul. Let's all stand together as we sing.
Thank you.
thankful for our young people that have been willing to do that. In fact, for the last several weeks, my Sunday school class is right next to theirs, and they start off singing every Sunday morning, and they serenade us, by the way. Even though there's walls between us, two sets of walls, the suspended ceiling allows that music to just float up and back down into our room, and it's been good. It's been good. So you're going to continue that, correct? Every Sunday morning. All right, looking forward to that. Let's take our Bibles out, please, and turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, as we continue working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, and we're going to be looking there in verses 7 through 11 this morning at the idea of a life of prayer, a life of prayer. As I begin reading here in verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Oh, what man is there among you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Let's pray together. Father, as we approach your word this morning, God, I pray for your wisdom, pray for your words, pray for your spirit to work not only in my heart, but in the hearts of everyone here this morning. God, help us to see the truth, help us to apply the truth, and then live the truth. God, I pray that you would be honored through your preaching this morning, not because of what I say, but because of our response to the truths that we see in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In these preceding verses, Christ was speaking of judgment. The verses just before these, we looked at them last week. Critical judgment of others. Bitterness. And we spent some time looking at that. We spoke of the need for forgiving others. And maybe even us needing forgiveness from others. All of this, if we just that much of a review of last week, the critical judgment of others, the bitterness, the forgiving others, us needing to be forgiven by others, all of that naturally then would lead to some talk of prayer on Christ's part, which is where we see him today. After he handled all of that, now he's saying, okay, let's talk about prayer. Because to do what we looked at last week, there's going to need to be some prayer taking place. That is what Christ does next in this sermon. If we are to be people that are discreet, using discernment, like we spoke of last week, then we must be people of prayer. Real prayer. Now, there are a number of passages on prayer throughout the Bible. Even more books that have been written on prayer. And we, all of us, perhaps have heard many of those sermons on prayer. And maybe even read many of those books on prayer. So today, as we go verse by verse through Christ's sermon, we're just going to consider what Christ chose to say in this sermon at this point in time. And there are three aspects of prayer that we can learn from what he chose to say here, or at least maybe even be reminded of in Christ's words. The first one that I want us to see is the intensity in prayer. There's three different levels of intensity, or maybe three different types of prayer, we might call them. Ask, seek, and knock, he says there in verse 7. We have the same three words in Luke's account of this same message. And in both treatments, the emphasis is not on us getting what we want. A lot of times we approach prayer in that way. How do I pray in the right way so I can get what I want? I'm not getting what I want, so I must have to change the way I pray. Okay, I'm going to look at ask, seek, and knock so I can really get what I want. Because I'm asking, seeking, and knocking. Whatever those are, we'll unveil that here in a little bit. And so we tend to approach it from that emphasis. But the emphasis here is actually on the persistency, the intensity, the levels of prayer, not getting what we want. So let's look at how we request our prayer, the requesting in prayer. Consider the first form that it says there. It says ask. Now, that's the simplest form of prayer in the Bible. There's instructions on how we should ask that we would find there in John 14:14. Jesus said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Simple requests. It's a simple aspect of a simple prayer. We just ask. Asking in Jesus' name is what he says there in John 14:14. If ye shall ask anything in my name. That's what I've been missing. I've got to say in Jesus' name when I pray. Like that's like, you know, that's like saying the words abracadabra. Oh, and there it is. All I got to do is say in Jesus' name. And I pray God in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And sometimes we will throw those kinds of words into our prayers like we're saying abracadabra so we can get what we want, the emphasis being on what we want. But when we throw words like that into our prayer, do you know what God sees those? He sees them as vain repetitions in prayer. We covered that back in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, where Christ was addressing prayer there. Vain repetitions. Saying in Jesus' name is not magic words that we need to include in our prayer. It's not a luck charm. Just even saying the name Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And suddenly he's listening and he's going to give us what we want. Asking in that name means this. We're asking in everything that that name represents. We're asking in Jesus' name, in everything that his name represents. To mention the name of Jesus reverently and believingly is to have access to the throne room, to know that our requests are actually being heard. Let me illustrate it in this way. A father had taken his children to the fair one year, and they were obviously not interested in looking at the prize pig, okay? Most kids aren't. They want the rides, don't they? So he bought an entire roll of coupons for the kids to ride the rides, his kids. And as each child approached the ride, the father would pull off a ticket and give it to them so they can ride the rides. At one of the rides, after all of his children had received their ticket, a strange boy whom the father had never seen came up to him and held out his hand. Now, the father kind of pulled the roll of tickets back, thinking, this is a little strange. And the man's son, one of his sons, Stephen, stepped forward and explained, that's okay, Dad. This is my friend. I told him you would give him a ticket. Do you know what the father did? Gave him a ticket in Stephen's name. Okay? Now, the boy had no right to a ticket, but since his son had said he would do it, the father honored the name of his son by giving the boy a ticket. Folks, asking in Jesus' name is asking with authority, as long as what we're asking for is in keeping with the name of Jesus. It's asking with authority because of whose name we are asking in. Jesus also said this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done to you. What a great promise that is, isn't that? We love that when we're praying, when we have a prayer, when we have a need, a want maybe, and it's strong, and a strong need, a strong want, and we really have to have this, and if we just abide in him, he will give us what we want. But it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, okay, we can pray according to the will of God only if we know the will of God. And where do we find the will of God? His words, found in God's word. I think it should be amazing to us if we attempt to pray when we never read God's word. How do we know that we're praying in Jesus' name? How do we know that we're praying in the will of God when we don't even read the will of God, to know what the will of God is on a matter? So let's take a closer look at the second word now. Let's go from ask to the word seek. Seeking. We're going to call that researching in prayer. Okay? Here's why. Seek, it says, and ye shall find. A researcher is someone who seeks and examines in order to find his evidence, and then he comes to a conclusion. That's what a researcher does. Seeking prayer, that kind of prayer, is a whole different level than asking. Some things are very clear to us, and we don't need to seek. We just ask. But we've all experienced times of doubt, haven't we? Where we're not sure what to pray for. We're not sure how to ask or what to ask for, or what God's will is in a certain matter. Those times of doubt, of unknowingness. And what do we need to do? We need to seek God's will, right? Or God's plan for that thing. In asking prayer, we're more concerned with things. In this seeking prayer, we're focused more on the Lord. Not the thing, but God, what is your plan? What are your thoughts on this? Paul spoke of this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Folks, this type of prayer is seeking the will of God based on Scripture. There's no other will of God available to us than what God has given to us in Scripture. That is the will of God, and it pertains all things pertaining, it has all the answers pertaining to life and godliness, according to what God tells us in the New Testament. We can be encouraged by the words of our text, because the words of our text in Matthew 7:7, it says, seek and you will find. Seek God's will and you'll find it. He'll show you in his word. Now, there's a third one here, this knock. And I'm just going to call that resisting in prayer. Resisting, okay? If you can picture in your mind what resisting might look like. It says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. When we are knocking on a door, we are requesting entrance, are we not? We're requesting entrance into the presence of whomever is on the other side of that door. At the same time, that door that we're knocking on, it symbolizes a barrier, a resistance, resisting us from entering. It's something that has to be overcome. If fellowship with the person on the other side is to be obtained, that resistance needs to be overcome. And we need to understand this, folks, that God is not the one who puts up the barrier between us and Him. Never. We just read in Sunday school this morning, Romans 8, 38, 39. What can separate us from the love of God? Two big long verses, one quick answer. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We need to understand that it is our selfishness and our sinfulness that erects barriers to our fellowship with God. So we have this knocking prayer, this resisting in prayer. To obtain that fellowship with God, that entrance, we sometimes have to overcome the barrier. I mentioned two of them. Selfishness. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, it says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's Christ instructing his disciples there at the end, okay, in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's saying, pray, pray, because there's going to be, they were on the verge of giving into selfish laziness. Now, all laziness is selfish, isn't it? Can you be lazy for someone else? That would be tough to do. I mean, if I could be lazy for one of you guys, let me know how to do that, okay? I tell you what, you do my work, and I'll be lazy for you. Or however that works. I don't know how that would work. The disciples were on the verge of giving into selfish laziness. And what did Christ tell them to do? He said, pray. You're on the verge of selfishness here. You need to do some knocking kind of prayer. Some resistance prayer needs to take place. In fact, James said this. James said that we ask and we don't receive. Because, he said, we ask amiss. And then he said this, we ask amiss that we may spend it on our own pleasures. Our prayers are sometimes selfish. Selfishness in our prayers. Many times we do allow selfishness to enter our prayers. Now, I understand that we may be struggling with that whole concept there, because I want my mom to be healed. I do. I want these other people that we know that are struggling with medical difficulties, we want them healed, yes. And it is kind of selfish, I guess, when we look at it that way, because we want it because we don't want them to be hurting. We don't want them to leave us. And so how does all that reconcile itself? Sometimes we allow selfishness to enter. Folks, God is looking for those who will knock and keep on knocking until all the selfishness is removed. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean I stop praying for people to get better? No. Because God told us to ask. It's more, it's less of the words that we say and what our particular requests are, and it's more our mindset, okay? Follow this progression, okay? God, I want my mom to be healed, or whatever it is. You fill in the blank. God, I want. God, I want. God, I want my mom to be healed. And we're being very earnest and very intent. And the intensity is incredible. Maybe we're even crying while we're praying. We want this so bad. God, I want my mom to be healed. God, I surrender to your will. God, I want your will, not mine. Not my will, but yours be done. I still want my mom to be healed. But now my focus is on what God wants. Right? Can you see the difference? That's resisting in prayer, so to speak. We're knocking and knocking until we get the selfishness away. Yes, I still want my mom to be healed, or whatever your fill in the blank was. But now we're willing to just surrender to what God wants. We now have entrance into God's throne room, into God's fellowship. The barrier has been removed. We now have entrance because now we are ready to listen and accept what God wants. That takes a whole different mindset, doesn't it? Sometimes there's a resistance because of selfishness, but sometimes there's a resistance also because of sin. In Psalm 66, 18, and there's many verses like this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Folks, I don't know how to re-say that verse, paraphrase that verse. Here's what this verse is saying. I mean, it says what it says. If there is sin in my heart, God doesn't hear my prayers. When I prayed and I thanked Him for my cereal this morning, God didn't hear it. When I prayed and asked Him to help me in a certain matter, God didn't hear it. When I prayed, God, I want my mom to be healed, God's not listening. All because of this sin that's in my heart from a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Or if we connect it, please, may we do this? Because this is all in context. Connect it with what Jesus was just saying last week. The critical judgment in my heart towards someone else, the lack of forgiveness, I might as well not even pray. God's not listening. He tells us, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Many times we hear a message on forgiveness and criticalness and judgment, and we think, oh boy, here comes that again. Or the other one, gossip. Oh, you know, there he goes off on that. Wait a minute, folks, this is serious. Because if I or you regard iniquity in your heart, God's not listening to your prayers. Sometimes people say, oh, it feels like my prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. That could be why. God's not answering my prayers. That could be why. Am I saying that is why? No, I'm just telling you what God's word says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It is as clear as that right there. Isaiah said that it is our sins that have separated us from our God. Jesus already addressed this matter, in fact, back in chapter 5 of this sermon that we're still looking at. He said in chapter 5, we are to leave our gift at the altar. If we have an issue with a brother or sister, leave your gift at the altar. He said, leave your good works. He said, leave your prayers. And first, go be reconciled with the one that you have offended. Then return to our prayers. Our sin closes the ears of God to our prayer. Even our earnest prayers, those ones where we really mean it, you know, we're really pleading with God. Ears are closed. But we can thank God that He has established a means of reconciliation whereby our prayers can once again be heard. There are different levels of intensity to our praying. But as we look at verse 8 of Matthew chapter 7, there's also a continuance there. This means simply that prayer is not something that we do for a moment or for a thing. It's not something that lasts just for a moment or something that's just for a special function or a special occasion. It is to be a habit of life. It's just something that we do. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Christ was saying that there will be those that keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, removing the resistances, getting rid of the selfishness. They just keep on doing that. So we must be as well. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and creed, or doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, the context of this verse is in regards to corporate prayer. They, a group of people, fellowshipping, believers together, continuing in the apostles' doctrine. So what's being portrayed here for us is a church service, a church that has come together for teaching, for fellowship, okay? Teaching, food, got to have that. Breaking of bread, and in prayers. And prayers. And yet sometimes when you break out corporate prayer, people leave. They don't come. But yet there is a power in corporate prayer that we see here in the New Testament. That's what we do on Wednesdays. That's what we do on Wednesday nights. We gather together, we study, we have fellowship, but we also pray together corporately as well. That's one official time. I would like to begin another official time of prayer. Now, back several years ago, just over 5 years ago, maybe even going back 6 years ago when this started, many of you came up here to the front of the church after every service, those that could, and you had a time of prayer. You just knelt and everyone just prayed on their own to God all at the same time, and he heard y'all in regards to your next pastor. And you continued to do that until God gave the church clear direction as to who their next pastor was to be. And I'm so glad it was me. Folks, we're in that same situation now. Not for me. I'm not going anywhere. But how about our assistant? Should we not be seeking God's will, God's direction, corporately, together? And I would like to invite you, beginning today, at the end of every service, if you're able to, just come down to the front, spend a few moments in prayer as we did once before. There is a constant activity in prayer, but there's also a constant attitude of prayer as well. And we see that in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. Now, if you're a telemarketer or a call center specialist or whatever your title is, and you're on the phone talking all the day, obviously you can't be praying without ceasing, okay? People would think there's something wrong with us if we did that. But this is not referring to literally speaking. This is referring to unbroken fellowship. Remember the ask, seek, knock, getting rid of the resistance? And now we have fellowship. This is talking about unbroken fellowship, which can exist between a believer and his God. It really can, not just on Sunday mornings when we hear some good music and we just get in the mood to worship. Oh, this is wonderful. This is great. And it is. But then Monday through the rest of the week, we don't have it. But it can exist every day of the week. Now, it can't be taking place, this unbroken fellowship can't be taking place when you're mad at someone, can it? That's a little difficult, right? I mean, you're mad at someone and you say, let's just pray. Oh, that kind of spoils it. You get a good mad worked up towards someone and now you're going to pray. That ruins the whole thing, doesn't it? You can't have unbroken fellowship when you're mad at someone. I can't have unbroken fellowship when I'm criticizing someone. Neither can you. And so if I'm doing that or you're doing that, we have unbroken fellowship. We have broken fellowship with our God, and we are not praying without ceasing at that moment. And so on, and the list can go on. It is us constantly realizing our dependency on Him, yielding ourselves continually to His will and doing His will, like what we had looked at just last week. If we are to be the good Christians that I believe we want to be, then our fellowship will not be broken, and we will experience that continual abiding with Him in spirit. Someone once said, pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. And pray until you do feel like it. Now, could we be honest? There's sometimes we don't feel like praying. That's when we need to pray. Now, I want to direct your attention back to our text here. And look with me at verse 9 of Matthew 7. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, this passage here, I mean, it has these comparisons taking place. A fish, a stone, bread, stone, fish, serpent. And there's some type of expectancy that we're experiencing in prayer here. When we pray, there needs to be an expectancy. Christ is describing the fatherliness and the faithfulness of God in these verses. God is our Father. The fact that God is our Father is perhaps one of the most comforting aspects of our relationship to Him. When you look at other world religions, God, their God, is someone to be feared and you don't want to get them mad. I didn't have to worry about that even with my earthly father. I know some people did with their earthly fathers. I understand that. We're talking about a heavenly Father here. We're talking about God who loves me more than everyone in this room put together. Loves me more than my own mother does. It is the fatherliness of God. That is the foundation of our approach to Him with our requests. I can go boldly into the throne room of God because He is my Father. Those of you that your dads are still living, okay? If you needed to, I'm sure most of you could go and say, "Dad, man, I need $20 for gas. Can I get a 20 from you?" And he would say, I'm sure most would say, "Sure." But if I did that with your dad, maybe not. Okay? I wouldn't even do that. He's your dad, not mine. But I would go ask my dad for 20. Well, maybe 50. He's dad. You can do that, right? He's our Father. That is the foundation for asking things of Him. That's the basis for us being the sons and daughters of God, being adopted into His family, being accepted by Him. He's our Father. John wrote that as many as received Him, He made them the children of God. Just like that. Wouldn't it be nice for the adoption process today to be that quick? Right? Now think about it. If God is our Father, then in reality, all is well. Because God's got it. He's on it. Everything that we can expect from a good father, an earthly father, is multiplied infinitely. That's what we should expect from God when we pray. But there's another aspect here. Not just the fatherliness of God, but the faithfulness of God. And it comes presented to us in those comparisons that are listed there. The bread and stone, the fish and serpent. Let me explain that. Limestone, which was common in that area, a limestone stone would be very similar to a loaf of bread in its appearance. A fish, certain fish are similar to eels, translated as serpent here in this verse. Subtle differences. And yet an earthly father would be aware of those differences. How many of you asked your earthly father for bread would make the mistake of giving you a stone? That's what he's asking here, okay? even though there's subtle differences. Here's what that says too about my earthly father, because that's who Christ is comparing God to. My earthly father would know the subtle differences. He would know that one, even though there's some slight differences, this one's better for me, this one's not. And even me looking at them may not be able to tell the difference. And God gives me, think about this, because we do this sometimes. God gives us the bread, but we wanted the stone. And we're like, oh, God, but I wanted this. But our Father, our Heavenly Father, knows. It reminds me of a time when my brother's kids were little. Mindy's niece, Claire, she was, oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old, and I was at their house there in California, and my thing, Uncle Gerald's thing was I would always bring them gummies, gummy fruits, gummy bears, whatever, and I would give them gummies. The whole time I was there, I just had a box of them. I was opening packages, and I just handed them gummies, get them all sugared up and leave, right? And her older brother, Titan, was in on this. He knew what I was doing. Claire had gotten up, left the table, and she came back. I had a gummy on her table there for her. Actually, it was a piece of dog food, okay? She threw it in her mouth, started chewing it, realized it wasn't a gummy, okay? And to this day, we always joke about giving her more dog food. But even though they were the same size, they were the same color, okay? The three-year-old, two, whatever she was, she couldn't quite distinguish the difference in texture. Sometimes we can't quite distinguish the difference in what's good for us and what's not, but my Heavenly Father does. And this verse is telling me He's going to give me what is best, what I need. If an imperfect earthly father wouldn't make these mistakes, how much more, he says, our perfect heavenly father will give us just what we need, even though sometimes we can't tell the difference. Did you know that God never makes a mistake? Of course we know that. But we sometimes forget it. Or sometimes we just doubt, don't we? What an encouragement to us, this should be, to stir up our prayer life as we pray through these different levels. Ask, absolutely. Seek God's will. Knock, getting rid of the barriers to our prayers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these truths that you've presented to us today. God, I pray that that we would do them. Help us to do these verses, to consider our own selves this morning. Are we really seeking your will? Is there our will that we want? And our prayers are selfish. We're not willing to surrender to what you want. Are we willing to remove the selfishness? Maybe, God, there's sin that's erecting a barrier to our prayers. And once again, Lord, in the same sermon, you've come back to this aspect again. God, I pray that we would listen to what you're saying now twice in the same message. We would be obedient. We would surrender to your will in this matter even. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.